Bringing us this lesson is Tim Ferriss.
The saying starts out, the more things change, and the end of it is, the more they stay the same. That always sounds kind of strange to me. And I want to focus on both parts of that this morning, but I really want to focus first on change. I don't care how far we go down life's highway. There's one sign that we're going to see, and that's changes ahead. We can count on things changing. We can count on things being different. We can count on hairstyles, clothing styles, our homes. All these things change. We count on maybe stronger things changing, like attitudes. We count on things changing like the seasons. And really, I guess, if we wanted to make things stop changing, we'd have to stop the world from turning. Because it's just not going to happen. You know, we realize that changes are inevitable. That changes come a lot of times when we don't expect them. But that they're going to come. You know, we don't have to look very far around, just even around our home. And we can look back at maybe old pictures and look at, say, a Christmas parade in downtown McMinnville many years ago. I think they used those same Christmas decorations until just a few years ago, and Trina said she always loved them. But they've changed. You know, a lot of the signs along Main Street have changed. In fact, probably most of them have changed. The businesses that might have been there when this picture was made probably aren't there anymore. Many of the people in that picture have probably passed away. So the more things change, though, the more they stay the same. How can that be? We look at an older picture, and I know this is not the oldest picture that we could find of Central, but the building that came before this one. You know, we look at that, and that sat on this corner. But then we look at a more recent picture of how things have changed, how our building has grown and expanded, hopefully to serve the needs of more people. And then I know that with high school graduation and things coming up, I can't help but think about the changes that are in our home. You know, I look at this picture and I think this hasn't been that long ago. But it really has. It feels like it's just been a few years. But then I look at this next picture. Changes happen. And the best we can do, we can't stop them. They're going to come. Imagine the shock of the first person that experienced the first volcanic eruption. You know, they thought... Got a lot of folks checking somebody out there, so we'll get word on them. And I think they're helping somebody back up now. So I think we'll continue. Want to make sure that like everybody's okay, but we'll sure keep a watch out and make sure that we keep everybody in our prayers there. So. You know, like I said, things happen, don't they? All of a sudden. And that was not a planned example, but it is an example. You know, we never know what comes our way. We never know what's going to happen. If you imagine the first person that experienced the volcano, they thought they had lived next to a mountain, and then all of a sudden something terrible happens. a life-changing, a life-ending event happens. Years ago, men built a ship. And their plan was for it to cross the ocean. And they thought it was unsinkable. And they thought that it was not able to be destroyed. But we know what happened to the Titanic. It was met with a terrible end. You know, people create buildings. And they plan for them to survive earthquakes, but that doesn't happen. Changes are something that we really can't avoid. And even though we know changes happen, even though we know things can shake us to our very foundation, there's a change I want to mention that I think has probably been the greatest change in history. When we think back, and it did come in the form of an earthquake, but I don't think it was measured on the Richter scale. The change that happened when Jesus died on the cross was a change that made history different. It was a change that took that old Jewish law and did away with it. It was a change that took the law of Moses and some would say pushed it aside, but it made it better. It improved and took the thought and the basic intent of that law and brought it into something that we can use today. It was a change that made it possible for people not to have to sacrifice bulls and goats anymore. But it was a change that left the sacrifice of the lamb behind. It was a change that took the priesthood really out of play, but made all of us part of the priesthood. There wasn't a need for priests to roll forward their sins anymore. But God put that on us to handle our own sins and take care of our own salvation. He gave us this tool. He gave us this option. He gave us a sacrifice. Things change all the time. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. And listen to the change that is expressed. It says, "Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." You hear that verse and you see that there's a change. You see that there was a time that prophecies needed to happen. There was a time before God's Word was fully revealed that people needed to have this gift of prophecy. There was a time that people needed to be able to speak in tongues. There was a time that people needed to have this knowledge imparted on them. That time was gone. And that time vanished away. And it was a change that a lot of people have even a hard time today accepting. People have a hard time realizing that those things have passed away. That those things aren't needed anymore. That God's given us everything that we need. We look at 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15. And it tells us what we need. It tells us that God expects us to study. Expects us to study. For what reason? To show ourselves approved. To be a workman that's not ashamed. To rightly divide the word of truth. To be people that, you know, we don't have to rely on tricks and gimmicks and tools that had to be relied on in the past. We're people that have all the information we need and all of the weapons we need to fight this battle that God's given us. He gave us everything. And He laid it out for us in a way that's so clear that we can understand it. Was that a change? Sure. It was a change from the law of Moses. It was a change from early biblical times. But it's a change that we still have today. The change that was instituted back on that cross and that we still have today. Turn with me to Galatians, if you would, chapter 1. And take a look at a change that happened that really was a surprise. Galatians chapter 1, and if you'll start with me in verse 6. Paul's writing to the church here in Galatia. He says to them in verse 6, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Him that called you, or so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Keep reading. He says, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, other than that which you preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, other than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul was just amazed that they could hear the gospel. They could hear the truth. They could hear and then so quickly be turned away. He couldn't believe it. The Greek word there is the word for astounded or bewildered. Now, did he say that he was surprised that there was a change? Did he say he was surprised there would be people that were teaching the wrong thing? That wasn't what surprised him. He knew that there would be people teaching the wrong thing. He knew there would be people who would bring about change or try to bring about change. What amazed him and what astonished him and what bewildered him was that they were changed so easy. Paul described how serious it was to listen to these false teachers. These were teachers that, you know, they might have a shred of truth. They might have a little bit of truth and then say, well, let's just add to that. Let's make it better. Let's make it more easily understood. See, that's the way change works. Sometimes change doesn't happen all at once like a volcano or an earthquake. Sometimes change happens slowly. Sometimes we just get so used to it that we just don't pay attention. Paul was amazed that they had left so soon, that they had turned away so quickly. But I wonder if we're very different. If we think about things that change and think about things that in our society maybe that we accept now, that we wouldn't have accepted or wouldn't have even dreamed of 10 years ago. Are there things that exist now? Are there things we allow now in our homes? Are there things that we shake our heads and pass by that we never would have seen just a few years ago? The change doesn't always happen suddenly. Paul described how serious it was for them to be taken by this change. In verse 8, he said that if you are preaching this, if you're preaching this, let you be accursed. If you're one of these false teachers, you need to be accursed. He even repeats it in verse 9. And he says in verse 10, do I seek to please men? Really, isn't that where a lot of our changes come from? When we try to change things, maybe in our worship service, or try to change things in what we do in church, isn't it most of the time, or if not all the time, to please us, to make us more comfortable? Do I seek to please God, or do I seek to please men? When I look in that same passage in Galatians chapter 1, Paul had already reminded them why they were there. He had already reminded them what the importance of this was. Go back with me in the end of verse 3 and then to verse 4. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds them how serious this is. From our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. And then Paul goes into, how could you leave? I'm amazed that you could leave. We preach this. We shared this together. You knew that Jesus died for your sins. And then you go off in this direction. How could you do it? You can hear the disappointment, can't you? You can hear the sadness. See, I don't want that to be said of me. I don't want to be the one that is looked at and say, how could you leave? How could you go so quickly? John chapter 14, verse 6 said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Acts 4, verse 12 reminds us that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. See, there's not any other way to be saved. There's not any other path of salvation. And when we look at that road sign that says there's changes ahead, that's true. But those changes don't lie in how we get to heaven. Those changes don't exist in God's Word. So how can we say the more things change, the more they stay the same? See, there's one thing that does not change. And it's God. He's the same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 24 said, for all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower falleth away. See, we realize that our life can be over and will be over someday. That James tells us it's just a vapor. We don't know when this life will be over. But looking at that and knowing that, there's still one thing that will never change. Some of the changes that we have result in decisions we make. And I came across this poem by a lady named Grace Easley. It's called Two Paths. It said, two paths lay before me once long ago, when summers were long and I didn't know the meaning of heartache or recognize pain. And I took it for granted that youth would remain. Two paths lay before me, and each of them led to what I could only imagine ahead. Though I wanted to wander down both a bit, life just shook her head and would have none of it. For no one path alone is given each man, and we must journey down it the best we can. And whether we win or whether we lose largely depends on the path that we choose. Now think about what Jesus said, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That there's one thing we can count on. And then I think of the words of that poem. And the last few lines of it said that whether we win or whether we lose largely depends upon the path that we choose. Now I'm going to change her poem just a little bit to say that it completely depends on the path that we choose. Whether we win or whether we lose depends entirely on the path that you choose. Then I'm going to go to the reading that Jeff shared with us earlier in Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, where he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, that's a verse about change. That verse says, and I think this is appropriate not just for folks graduating from high school or seeing one of those life-changing moments come, but for all of us. And that's to not be conformed, to not be changed by this world. Don't let the world change you, it says. But it says, be transformed. You be changed. You be the one that does the changing by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, I think it entirely depends on the path that we choose. This morning, you've got a chance to choose a path. And it's a chance that God has given you several Sunday mornings, several Sunday nights, and several Wednesday nights. God has laid out a path for all of us. He's made it very clear what He expects us to do. He's made it very clear that He expects us to listen to what His Word says and hear it, and to believe what His Word says. He's made it clear that He wants us to repent of our sins. He's made it clear that He wants us to confess our belief in Jesus as His Son. He's made it clear that He wants us to be buried in baptism, to wash our sins away. He's made it clear that He wants us to live a faithful life after that. going down that path is the only way to get to heaven. See, no matter what changes come our way, no matter what life events happen, the way we answer that question, the path that we choose, makes all the difference. This morning, if you've not made the choice to be on that path that will get you to heaven, if you're not a Christian especially, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. If you're not a Christian, then you've got a chance this morning to become one. You've got a chance this morning to put Christ on in baptism. If you are a Christian and you've gone the wrong direction, then you've got a chance to focus, to refocus your life on the path God wants you to be on. You may need our prayers. You may need support. You may have problems that no one knows about that you need to handle alone. But wherever you are, God gives you a chance this morning to put yourself back on the right path. No matter what changes come,